All right, so have you heard about this Tabra project?
Yeah, I've seen some stuff floating around online. It seems pretty ambitious.
Ambitious is an understatement. It's like they took every futuristic idea out there, clean energy, universal basic income, cryptocurrency, and mashed it all together.
It's definitely attention-grabbing.
That's for
Yeah.
sure. And that's exactly why we're diving deep into it today. We've got a whole stack of documents here. Technical explanations, project proposals, a TBB private sale offer even, their light paper, and get this, their manifesto.
A manifesto, huh? Sounds intense.
Intense is one word for it. So we're going to try to unpack all of this, separate fact from hype, and help you understand what this Tabra project is really all about.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so where do we even begin? Let's start with the big picture. What exactly are they proposing?
Well, at its core, Tabra is an energy project. They're talking about creating massive floating solar farms in the middle of the ocean, millions of square kilometers of solar panels.
Millions. Seriously.
Yeah, millions. It's a pretty mind-boggling scale.
Okay, hold on. Let's back up a bit. Why the ocean? Why not just build these solar farms on land?
Good question.
Yeah.
And they actually address that in their documents. It comes down to a few things. First, space. They need a vast, uninterrupted area to deploy these solar farms, and land, especially suitable land, is a limited resource.
That makes sense. Land is also expensive, right?
Exactly. And then there are environmental concerns. Building solar farms on land can disrupt ecosystems and displace wildlife. So they're looking to the ocean as this untapped resource.
So they're basically turning the ocean into a giant solar power plant. But how do they even choose where to build these things? The ocean is huge.
Right, so they've zeroed in on these specific areas called oceanic gyres.
Oceanic what now?
Gyres. Basically, they're these massive systems of rotating ocean currents, kind of like giant whirlpools, but much, much bigger.
Okay, I'm vaguely picturing it. So what's so special about these gyres?
Well, for one, they're remote, far away from shipping lanes and populated areas, so there's less risk of interference or disruption.
Makes sense. Out of sight, out of mind, right?
And importantly, these gyres are largely devoid of marine life. They're kind of like these oceanic deserts, so the environmental impact is supposedly minimal.
Okay, so they found these remote, relatively lifeless patches of ocean. But how do they actually build solar farms on water? Won't the panels just sink?
That's where the technology gets really interesting. They're using a type of solar cell called perovskite. Have you heard of that?
I've seen it mentioned, but honestly, I don't really know much about it.
Well, think of it as the next generation of solar technology. Perovskite cells are cheaper to manufacture, more efficient at converting sunlight to electricity, and they're flexible, which is crucial for a project like this.
Flexible solar panels. That makes sense. They need to be able to withstand the waves and currents.
Exactly. And the design of their solar rafts is pretty clever. They're basically these giant inflatable platforms, kind of like imagine a paddling pool, but on a massive scale with the solar panels mounted on top.
Giant inflatable solar paddling pools. Got it. What happens to the electricity they generate? Do they run underwater cables back to shore?
Nope. That would be incredibly expensive and inefficient. Instead, they're converting the electricity to hydrogen right there on the rafts.
Wait, they're making hydrogen. How does that work?
They've got these onboard electrolyzers, basically devices that split water into hydrogen and oxygen using electricity.
Okay, I remember learning about electrolysis in high school chemistry. So the oxygen just bubbles back into the ocean.
Yep, and the hydrogen.
Well, hydrogen is flammable, right? They're not just letting it float around out there, are they?
Not quite. This is where it gets really ingenious. The hydrogen they produce is stored right inside the inflatable rim of the raft.
So each raft is like its own little hydrogen factory and storage unit. That's pretty wild. But how do they collect the hydrogen? Are they sending people out there?
Not a chance. They're relying on automation for pretty much everything. They've designed these robotic ships specifically built to handle rough seas that roam around the solar farms collecting the hydrogen.
So these robots just cruise around, scooping up hydrogen-filled rafts. This whole thing sounds like something straight out of a sci-fi movie.
It's definitely pushing the boundaries of what's currently possible. But if they can pull it off, the potential is huge.
I'll say, okay, so they figured out how to generate and collect hydrogen from the middle of the ocean. But how does that translate into usable energy for our homes and businesses? I don't think my car runs on hydrogen.
You're right. Most of our infrastructure isn't set up for hydrogen fuel. But they've thought of that too. They plan to convert the hydrogen into other fuels like methane and ammonia, which are easier to transport and integrate into existing systems.
So they're turning sunshine into hydrogen, then into fuels we can actually use. It's like a multi-step energy conversion process.
Exactly. And that solves another big challenge with renewable energy. Intermittency.
Intermittency.
You know, the fact that the sun isn't always shining, the wind isn't always blowing. Traditional solar and wind power are great, but you need ways to store that energy for when it's not available.
Right. You can't just turn the sun on and off like a light switch.
Exactly. So by converting the hydrogen to methane and ammonia, they can store energy in a form that's readily available whenever it's needed.
This is getting complex. We've got floating solar farms, robot harvesters, multiple energy conversions. But it's fascinating.
It is, and we're just getting started. They also have this whole cryptocurrency angle that adds another layer of complexity and intrigue to the project.
Ah, yes, the crypto twist. I knew that was coming. They've got two tokens, right? TTAB and BRE.
Right. And they each play a specific role in the Tabra ecosystem.
Can you break that down for us? I'm still a little fuzzy on the whole cryptocurrency thing.
Sure. Think of TABB as the investment token. Similar to Bitcoin, it has a fixed supply and a halving schedule, meaning its value is designed to appreciate over time.
So it's like a digital gold rush for those who believe in the project's long-term potential.
Kind of. It's about betting on the future of Tabra.
Yeah.
Then there's BRE, which is their utility token. This is what you'd use to buy and sell Tabra energy.
Ah, okay. So TABB is for investors. BRE is for energy consumers. That makes sense. But why even bother with cryptocurrency? Why not just use traditional currencies?
Well, they argue that using cryptocurrency allows for faster, cheaper, and more transparent transactions, cuts out the middlemen, and gives individuals more control over their energy usage and finances.
I can see the appeal of that. But it also seems risky, right? Cryptocurrency is still relatively new and volatile. Tying a global energy project to that seems, well, a bit of a gamble.
It definitely adds an element of uncertainty. And that's something we need to keep in mind as we evaluate the feasibility of this whole project.
Absolutely. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground already. The technology, the energy conversion process, the cryptocurrency angle. It's a lot to digest.
It is. And there's still so much more to unpack. We haven't even touched on their plans for funding a global universal basic income with the profits from this project.
Oh, right. The UBI. That's where things get really interesting. I'm curious to see how they plan to make that work, especially given the massive costs involved in building and operating these solar farms.
Yeah. And there are definitely questions about the feasibility and potential consequences of implementing a global UBI. It's a complex issue with both potential benefits and risks.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered enough for now. Let's take a break and come back to explore the financial aspects of this project, including the UBI, in more detail. Okay, so last time, we left off talking about how Tabra plans to fund a global universal basic income. Where exactly does that fit into their roadmap?
It's actually baked into their entire plan from the get-go. The UBI isn't an afterthought. It's a core component of their vision.
So they're not waiting until they're raking in billions to start thinking about the UBI. It's part of their strategy from day one. How does that even work, though?
Well, they're planning to gradually phase in the UBI as their project scales up, using a portion of the profits from their energy sales to fund the payouts.
Okay, so the more energy they sell, the more money goes into the UBI pot. Makes sense. But how do they determine how much each person gets? And who even qualifies for this global UBI?
That's where their cryptocurrency, BRE, comes into play again. They envision BRE becoming the currency of this global UBI system.
So everyone on Earth gets a BRE wallet. How would that even work logistically?
It's a massive undertaking, for sure. Their white paper outlines a plan to create a digital identity system, leveraging blockchain technology to verify identities and distribute UBI payments securely and transparently.
A global digital identity system built on blockchain. It sounds like something out of a cyberpunk novel, but I guess it would have to be pretty robust if they're talking about distributing money to billions of people.
Right. It would need to be scalable, secure, and resistant to fraud and corruption. They're also talking about creating a decentralized governance structure for the UBI program, giving individuals a say in how it's managed and distributed.
So it's not just Tabra calling the shots. They want to create a system where the UBI is governed by the people who benefit from it.
Exactly. It's about empowering communities and giving individuals a voice in shaping their own economic future.
Okay, I'm starting to get the big picture. They build these massive solar farms, sell energy using their BRE cryptocurrency, and use a portion of the profits to fund a global UBI, also paid out in BRE. But how much money are we talking about here? What kind of UBI payments could people realistically expect to receive?
That's a tough question to answer, as it depends on a lot of factors, like the price of BRE, the profitability of their energy sales, and the global population. But their projections suggest that a fully operational Tabre system could generate enough revenue to provide a substantial UBI to everyone on Earth.
Substantial is a pretty vague term. Can you give us a ballpark figure?
It's really hard to say with any certainty. But some estimates suggest that a global UBI funded by Tabre could potentially provide hundreds of dollars per month to every individual.
Hundreds of dollars a month? That's a game changer. It could lift millions, maybe even billions of people out of poverty.
That's the idea. It could provide a basic level of financial security, freeing people to pursue education, start businesses, or simply have more time and resources to contribute to their communities.
It's a pretty radical idea. It almost sounds too good to be true. What do economists have to say about the potential impact of a global UBI?
It's a hot topic of debate. Some economists argue that a UBI could stimulate economic growth by boosting consumer spending and fostering innovation. Others worry about potential negative consequences, like inflation, labor shortages, or a decrease in overall productivity.
So there's no clear consensus on whether a UBI is a good idea or not.
Right. It's a complex issue with a lot of potential ramifications. And there are many different models for implementing a UBI, each with its own set of trade-offs.
Okay, so we've got this grand vision of a world powered by clean energy where everyone receives a basic income. It sounds like a utopia, but it also raises a lot of questions.
Definitely. And that's what we're here to explore, right? To dig into the details, examine the claims, and try to understand the potential implications of this project.
Exactly. We've covered the technology, the energy conversion process, the cryptocurrency angle, and now the universal basic income. But there's one piece of the puzzle we haven't touched on yet, the feasibility of it all.
Right. Can they actually pull this off? Is it even possible to build and operate a global energy system on this scale?
And can they really create a stable and functional financial system based on cryptocurrency? There's so many unknowns, so many potential risks and challenges.
There are, and that's what we'll be diving into next time. We'll examine the potential roadblocks, the logistical hurdles, the political and economic implications, and ultimately try to assess the likelihood of Tabre's vision becoming a reality.
So we've talked about Tabre's vision, clean energy, universal basic income, a whole new financial system. It's exciting, it's ambitious, but is it realistic? That's the big question looming over all of this, right?
And to be honest, there are a lot of reasons to be skeptical.
Yeah, like where do we even begin? This whole project seems like a massive undertaking.
Well, for starters, the sheer scale of it is unlike anything we've ever seen. We're talking about a global energy infrastructure project with millions of solar panels, a fleet of robotic ships, fuel production, and distribution networks.
It's mind-boggling. How do they even plan to coordinate something this complex?
That's a huge challenge. They're going to need to manage global supply chains, navigate international regulations, and deal with all sorts of logistical hurdles. It's a recipe for potential delays, cost overruns, and unforeseen complications.
And let's not forget the political implications. A project this disruptive is bound to face pushback from existing power structures.
Absolutely. Governments, energy companies, financial institutions, they all have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo. Tabre is essentially challenging the entire system.
Right. They're not just trying to build a better solar panel. They're trying to rewrite the rules of the game.
Exactly. And that's going to ruffle some feathers. They're going to need to be very savvy in terms of navigating the political landscape and building alliances.
It sounds like they're walking into a minefield. But even if they can overcome the logistical and political hurdles, what about the technology itself? Is it really up to the task?
Well, perovskite solar technology is promising, but it's still relatively new and unproven at scale.
Right. We don't really know how these perovskite panels will perform over the long term, especially in harsh ocean environments.
Exactly. And what about those robotic harvesters and the entire hydrogen production and storage system? Those are complex technologies that could be prone to malfunctions or unforeseen problems.
It seems like there are a lot of points of potential failure, and any one of those could derail the entire project.
Exactly. And then there's the cryptocurrency aspect. It's a bold move to build an entire financial system around a new and volatile asset class.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how wildly cryptocurrency prices can fluctuate. What happens if the value of BRE crashes?
That's a huge risk. It could undermine their entire business model and make it impossible to fund their operations, let alone a global UBI.
So we've got technological uncertainties, political challenges, logistical nightmares, financial risks. It's starting to feel like this whole project is built on a very shaky foundation.
It's definitely not a sure thing. There are a lot of things that could go wrong. But on the other hand, what if they succeed?
That's the question that keeps coming back to me. What if they actually manage to pull this off? What would that mean for the world?
It would be a game changer. Abundant, cheap, clean energy, a global basic income, a more equitable and sustainable future. It's a vision that's both inspiring and a little bit daunting.
It is. It makes you wonder if we're even ready for such a radical transformation.
Maybe not. But maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need to shake things up, to challenge the status quo, to imagine a world that's fundamentally different from the one we live in today.
I think you're right. Even if Tabra ultimately fails, they've forced us to think differently, to consider possibilities that we might have dismissed as impossible before.
Exactly. They've raised important questions about the future of energy, the role of technology, and the kind of society we want to create.
And those are questions we all need to be asking ourselves, whether or not Tabra succeeds. So what do you say, dear listener? Have we convinced you to take the Tabra project seriously?
Or are you still skeptical? Either way, we encourage you to do your own research, to learn about perovskite solar technology, oceanic gyres, cryptocurrency, universal basic income. Form your own opinions.
Because the future is not something that just happens to us. It's something we create through our choices, our actions, and our imaginations. And who knows, maybe one of you listening will be inspired to come up with the next big idea that changes the world. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Tabra Project.